right? First year was staffed with most of the first of all, I want to let you know that we do have career services. We're right upstairs in the cafeteria. We help students make career decision-making as far as choosing a major or researching occupations. And my hunch is that most of you have done that already, and that's why you've selected to be majoring in computer science. We also have assistance for you when you're getting ready to graduate. You're looking for that job, for that first professional position. My office helps you with resumes, so we have workshops on resume writing. We do one-on-one critique sessions. We can really help you put together a dynamic resume that will be a marketing tool and help you sell yourself to employers. We also help you with interview preparation, how to prepare for an interview, so that you're prepared. That first interview can be kind of scary. Actually, a lot of people report that they're always a little intimidated by interviews. So the more prepared you are, the more you know what to expect, what an interview is all about, and what recruiters are looking for, the more comfortable you are going to be with that process. So we do help you with interview prep. We'll do a mock interview with you. And we have a wonderful tool. It's called Optimal Resume. It's a suite of tools that will help you format your resume. It gives you some great resume tips. It's online. You can access it 24/7. It also helps you with interview preparation and with putting a portfolio together if you wanted to do that. So that's also a great tool. So I encourage all of you to take advantage of it. Come to my office, visit with us in Career Services. Today we have Greg Clocken, who is a recruiter from Meditech, and he's going to talk with you about the hiring process at Meditech. We'll also give you some information on the company's history, goals, where it's going, and maybe how you can fit in as programming networking students at Meditech, and the skills that you'll need to impress the recruiter. I know that's always something everybody wants to know, like, how do I get a job at Meditech? I hear that very often. Well, Greg is here today, so now you can ask Greg and learn from him about how you can get that job at Meditech. So. Okay.
Perfect. Thanks. And yeah, we can talk about anything that you'd like to talk about, the development process, the, you know, not just looking for a job here at Meditech, but the interview process for, you know, for other types of companies that you might be looking for. But anything at all, feel free to ask. So I'm not sure if anybody here has heard of our company, Meditech. Are you guys familiar with this at all?
I think I used to ship stuff to you guys. You guys do business with a company called Saint-Gobain.
Possibly.
Medical tubing.
Oh, well, we're just software. So we have one of those names that sounds like a lot of different companies out there. There's like Medtronic, Medtronic is another big one. But what we do is strictly software. Okay. We develop what's known as electronic health records. So it's software applications that cover every different area of a healthcare facility, administrative, clinical, financial areas, tracks patient information throughout those facilities. So we actually have a Fall River facility right down over near the South Latepa Pond there, kind of near Whites of Westport. So you see that big glass building. It's near the UMass Dartmouth ATMC. Beautiful facility there. We have about seven other facilities. Across from where?
Harvey's Windows.
You know where?
It's right in the Narrows.
The old Kerr Mills?
It's actually the site of the old Kerr Mill. I don't know if you guys, some of you might be able to remember that.
There's another medical place in Diamond, Dan Farns Corner Road.
We're right in Fall River there.
Right near the Page of Seafood.
Actually, that's the spot everybody knows. Great spot. Great facility there. We're in a booming industry. You know, I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the things that are leading to growth within our industry, who we are, real unique company. Tell you a little bit about what sets us apart. Where your career can take you. We have some fantastic benefits. Hopefully, pique your interest and tell you a little bit about how to apply at that point. Before we start talking about Meditech, I just want to kind of tell you a little bit about healthcare IT and some of the factors that are leading to tremendous growth in this area. Healthcare and technology are two of the fastest growing industries here in the U.S., and it's projected to be for the next 20 to 30 years. Big reason for that is aging baby boomer population here in the U.S. As this group gets older, the healthcare industry needs to grow exponentially in order to keep up with their healthcare demands. By 2050, there'll be 87 million Americans, that's one out of every four, who are going to be over the age of 65 years old. The healthcare industry needs to grow. About 6.6 million new jobs are going to be in the healthcare sector by 2020. when we think of healthcare, we think of direct patient care, the clinical side. But there are a lot of technical positions. There's healthcare IT. Technology is playing a growing role in healthcare. There's a big push to use this technology to improve patient care, improve patient outcomes. Safety is a big issue. And then it's doing a lot to reduce costs in healthcare overall as well. Here in the U.S., about one out of every $6 of the gross domestic product is spent on healthcare. And with this aging baby boomer population, they can't continue to spend like that. So one of the big things we do, aside from all the safety features of using electronic health record and improving patient outcome, improving the experience for both the physicians, the clinicians, and the patient, is we reduce the cost of healthcare through the use of the technology. Consumer involvement is really increasing. People are really embracing the technology, and so are physicians. We have a patient portal, allows patients to contact their physicians, check lab results, check, people are really embracing this. It's the same thing with the physicians. Right now, they're really embracing, the use of mobile devices, things like that. iPad, you'll see a lot of physicians now on iPads and on their phones, things like that. The software is all accessible that way. They use voice recognition software to dictate, transcribe reports, things like that. Down the road, our development team is working with, Google Glass, and so it'll allow physicians to go into a patient's room, pull up all of all the patient's medical records, allergies, all those things will show. That's what's kind of on the horizon down the road. 10 years from now, it'll be something probably completely different. Remember when the iPad came out? I thought, wow, who's going to buy this? This looks like a big funny cell phone, and I was wrong. That's why I'm not in development, I guess. But who are we? We're an electronic health record company. So to give you an idea of the important role that electronic health records play in healthcare, this technology. We have this video. It's from, we have a South Africa office at Meditech, and they developed this video to kind of show the important role of an EHR, throughout your lifetime, tracking patient information. So I'll play this for you. It's just a short little video.
Proud parents made her to bring their son to a pediatrician regularly, where the doctor had full access to Frank's complete medical history since birth. By the age of 8, Frank had grown to love playing soccer. One day, during a practice with his youth team, Frank began experiencing wheezing and severe shortness of breath. The boy's coach was quick to call for an ambulance, and Frank was taken to a nearby hospital where he was treated by the ED staff. After this incident, Frank's pediatrician consulted his health record and diagnosed Frank with asthma. From then on, Frank's breathing levels were examined at each visit to sustain his well-being. After enjoying a successful high school soccer career, Frank graduated with honors and left for a university on the other side of the country the following autumn. Due to the large distance, Frank found a specialist nearby who was able to treat his asthma. The specialist accesses Frank's Meditech record on a regular basis to ensure consistent treatment. After completing his education, Frank moved back to Worcester to start his career. He also found time to reconnect with an old friend, and within a year, the two were engaged to be married. Though his asthma attacks were less frequent now, Frank was sure to continue visiting his physician for regular checkups. It's 2012, and Frank is about to become a father. He and his wife are nervous about being first-time parents, but they are sure to visit an obstetrician right up until the big day and are well-prepared for the birth of their child. Since asthma can be hereditary, the doctors and nurses are aware of the risk of breathing irregularities in the infant's first several months. Frank is confident that with the help of electronic health records, doctors will be able to provide his child with the care he needs to enjoy a healthy life, just as they did with Frank. Meditech's EHR is providing patients like Frank with consistent treatment across the entire care spectrum. It's happening here in the United States, and it's happening all over the world. For you see, Frank's story didn't take place in Worcester, Massachusetts. It took place in Worcester, South Africa.
Great. So, you know, as I mentioned, that's from our... We actually have Meditech South Africa, Meditech Australia. Our software is used throughout the world. Primarily, you know, our largest customer base is here in the U.S. and in Canada, but we have an international impact as well. And I think that video just does a great job of just showing the important role that electronic health records play in healthcare right now. And, you know, it's a role that's increasing each and every year. And that's really what our mission is. Our mission is to enable customers to provide higher quality care, greater efficiency, and more people at a lower cost. So improving care, improving efficiency, and reducing costs in healthcare, all really important areas. So tell you a little bit about us. Meditech's actually been around for 45 years now, providing EHR solutions to our customers. That's 37 years now of consecutive years of profitability. We're, you know, as I mentioned, for all the reasons earlier, a really booming industry. It was started by a programmer back in the 1960s. Our founder, Neil Pappalardo, was an MIT grad and is a real pioneer in this industry. And he's a co-developer of what's known as MUMS technology and used that to develop a laboratory application back in at MGH. From there, it's grown to many, many different software applications that all, you know, interface with one another, covering all the administrative, all the clinical, and all the financial areas within a wide range of healthcare facilities, ranging from ambulatory care, which is private practices, long-term care facilities, home healthcare, which is big hospice, things like that, behavioral health care facilities, and basically the entire healthcare spectrum. We've been growing, added over 300 new staff members in 2013. Total revenue in 2012 was $597 million. Very similar number for 2013. Those numbers actually just came out, even though it's been almost a year. We've added over 89 new accounts since 2012, and that's just a growing number. You know, these are numbers that are just continuing to grow and grow, so we have to keep updating these slides. We're the leading market share, with about 2,300 customers in terms of hospitals that are using our products. One out of four hospitals here in the U.S. use Meditech across the board, administrative, clinical, financial areas. Every hospital in this area, 75% of Massachusetts hospitals, every hospital on the South Coast uses it. Some of them are actually switching over to our competitor. Actually, Charlton's switching. They're part of a larger hospital group that's going over there. But right now, if you were to go in any, you know, Charlton, St. Anne's, St. Luke's, any of these places, you'd see Meditech across the board. You know, you'd see them entering your information. They'd pull it up. You know, are you still living at such and such an address? Is this your insurance? If they order a prescription, it goes through, checks to make sure you're the correct patient, correct dosage, if there's conflicts, allergies, all of these things, the billing side, your insurance, all that information, all of that is covered by the Meditech system. So
it probably stops people from getting more medication than they're supposed to, right?
Yeah, that's actually a big thing as well.
People go to one doctor and say they got a hurt bad.
Yeah, the abuse of prescription drugs is a huge thing.
Probably stops that as well.
Yeah, so with an old paper system, you know, if you went to different physicians or different hospitals, you could really easily get away with that. There's really no way for them to know, who's gone here, who's gone there. And, the use of a system like this, they can actually check your medical history and see, you know, where you've gone. And there's other benefits to that as well. The old way, there's a real silo effect. You know, if you went to the hospital and then went to your private physician, a lot of times that information wasn't shared. Or if you went across the country, let's say you moved to California, it'd be very difficult for them to get your medical records. Other things we've seen, times when there's floods, tornadoes, hurricanes. With paper systems, they're destroyed, and you know people's medical records are just completely gone. In Louisiana during the hurricane there, those hospitals, there were Medipet customers, and then there were other people that were using paper systems. Those people with paper systems, for some reason, they always keep records in the basement of the hospitals. I have no idea. I have no idea why that's the case. But I'm sure there's a reason for it. But completely destroyed, thousands and thousands of medical records. But with the use of an electronic health record system, that's not a problem. So that's a little bit about our industry. This is just a screenshot of some of our newer stuff. You can see it's pretty simple, easy to use, a lot of color coding. It's actually grown from here. Our newer stuff actually shows a picture of the patient up here in the right-hand corner, all kinds of information, a lot of, you know, as I mentioned, color coding to help them, make better decisions, real-time, up-to-date information on the patient to make better decisions for them. Simple, easy to use. Physicians, we hire physicians. We have over 25 physicians on staff that still practice part-time. Nurses, office managers, former office managers in healthcare facilities who help us with the development process. So they're working very closely with the development analysts, with the development programmers, with our quality assurance people, our development specialists, meeting several times a week, going over it. Our old development process, what we would do is, the development programmers would get together, work with the analysts who storyboard it, put it together, and then come back with a fairly finished product and then say, ta-da, here you go. And then they'd go back and they'd say, okay, this needs to change, that needs to change. Now the process is, working, every week, going through the process on a week-by-week basis, making changes as they're necessary. And it's worked out very well. And getting the feedback from people who actually are using the product has been a big, a huge step for us as well. So our newest products, there's a lot of, there's already tremendous demand for it. It's, right now we have a couple beta sites out there that are using this and they absolutely love it. So this is a big thing for us, a little bit different than some of the stuff we've done in the past. We have a really unique company. I'll tell you a little bit about what sets us apart. First off, we're privately owned and operated. Big thing here is we don't answer to Wall Street. Fluctuations in the stock market don't affect us. Our focus is not on quarterly profits, but on our customers and on our staff members. So that makes for a really unique environment. We've never laid off anybody going back to 1969, so we're in a real stable industry. Healthcare is pretty stable, kind of regardless of what's going on out there in the economy. People need to go to hospitals and physicians. During the downturn in the economy several years ago, we actually had record growth in terms of revenue. So that kind of tells you a lot about the industry. Our software is in all 50 states, throughout Canada. We have a AAA credit rating, no debt at all, very conservatively run company, very bright future. Software is used in 21 countries throughout the world. It's a booming company, it's a stable company, and in a real booming industry. In terms of where your career can take you, Meditech is somewhat unique in that we actually do all of our promotion right from within. So there's just tremendous potential for you to come in at that entry level and work your way up. You play a big role in your development. We don't pigeonhole you into a specific area. We're hiring for a wide range of positions. Everything from, I'll show you the full list in a minute, but wide range of positions. But you have the ability to move around, find your niche within the company. I started out working with the software a long time ago and switched over to the recruiting side. That's just, much different, but just kind of shows how you have the ability to kind of move around, and you play a big role in determining your path. Executive, the average tenure for executives is about 31 years. We have a great employee training program, several months of just formal training rather than just, you know, giving you a one-week training or throwing you into the deep end. We fully train all new staff. Number of positions, these are just three of some of the more common positions. Client training specialist is going out, implementing the software, getting them up and running with the system. Any of you who are interested in traveling, it's a good role. On the road a lot, it's airline travel, two or three trips a month, 3 to 5 days at a time, though. If you're looking to stay more in-house, you have the client support specialist role, doing something, you know, troubleshooting any of their issues, kind of a customer service-based role, keeping the customer happy, troubleshooting any of the technical issues. You're working closely with the next roles, the technical roles, the programmers, who are working with our existing code, doing debugging. They do some small customs for the sites as well. We work with an internal language called Magic. It's our own proprietary stuff, so obviously it's something that we'd fully train you on at Meditech, but people who've worked with some of the more common languages usually have a very easy transition over to our language. And you know, we're looking for software developers as well to work and you know, develop new applications, the new latest and greatest stuff. What's interesting about working for a software company is that your product, you're not making one set product that's, you know, doesn't change over time. It's constantly evolving, constantly changing. We keep up with, you know, what's going on within our industry, you know, the demands of our customers, and yeah, all those things. So definitely an interesting area to get into. Technology is, you know, it's never stagnant. It's always changing. A little bit more about what sets us apart. We have some great, you know, intangible benefits, you know, real open work environment, wide open workstations, no high-walled cubicles. We don't stick you in a box. It's not one of those depressing office space places. It's a real, real nice, all of our facilities are really amazing. You know, you've seen I think you've seen our Canton facility. We have a giant glass atrium with palm trees. People actually get married there. I wouldn't want to get married at work, but you know, some people do. But it's a you know, it's built on a huge horse farm. They have the Life is Good festival there. If you've heard of that, real amazing place. I work up at our Framingham office, which is a huge facility there. We just opened a massive Foxborough facility. It's already been in a number of architecture magazines. It's just really, really incredible place. We just bought Adobe Software's building up in Waltham, which is this Platinum LEED certified amazing facility off of 128 up there. Canton, Norwood, a couple Westwood offices. In our Norwood office, we have an 18-hole golf course for you if you're interested in golf. We have gyms in all of our facilities. Fantastic cafeterias with amazing food, dry cleaning, you know, all different types of perks. Over 4,000 pieces of art throughout the facilities, mostly local artists. So real incredible work environment, you know, much different than a lot of places that I've been to. So yeah, real nice environment. You know, we support 43 nonprofit charities as well. We're really involved with the local community, and that's just something that continues to grow. Aside from the intangibles, we have a lot of you know, traditional benefits as well. We pay 90% of the health and dental plan. It's a lot more money that stays within your paycheck. You know, whatever position you're looking for, that's one of the things you want to look at, given the high cost of health insurance. We have an annual cash bonus, so the company actually shares profits with its staff members. Annual cash bonus is based on the success of the company that year, so it adds a lot to your base salary. Your salary is actually, we have an annual salary review, so it just continues to grow and grow each year, all based on merit. We offer tuition assistance if you're looking to continue your education. That's a great opportunity. We have everybody go back for every different thing you can possibly imagine. I grew up here in Fall River, and one of the girls I went to elementary school, middle school, Durfee with, she
was hired last year, wasn't she?
Well, no, she was hired a couple of years ahead of me at Meditech, used tuition assistance to go back and went to law school, and is now head of the head legal counsel at Meditech. So yeah, so that's just one example. You can go back to school for anything, take classes on anything you'd like. There's a real focus on education there. we paid vacation time, 12 paid vacation days. I get days off. I didn't even know were holidays before. Profit sharing trust, $3,000 referral bonus. I had a UMass Dartmouth kid a few years back. He, in 1 year, referred 12 people.
Wow.
$36,000 in referral bonuses.
So that's a current employee who refers a friend to the company.
Yeah, refers
based
somebody.
Based on the fact that they have the skills and...
Yeah, they hire somebody that gets hired, they stay for 90 days, and there's a $3,000 bonus. He just happened to do... he had 12, he had a bunch of friends at UMass Dartmouth, sent them over, and they were hired. And he had a good year. I wish I got the bonus, actually. That'd be nice. We reward longevity, though. A lot of the benefits really continue to grow. The longer you stay there, you can telecommute later on. You can purchase stock after a few years of employment there. So some great benefits.
Greg, as far as many of these students are first-year students, and my hunch is they're thinking, does Meditech hire folks with just an associate's degree?
Yeah, absolutely.
What type of career job titles might be appropriate for them?
I should have mentioned that. We've hired extensively here from BCC, particularly from Priscilla's classes. I in the past, I brought Terry here. Other times, I've brought other people, who come in, and Terry always jokes that Priscilla's classes are very tough, but they really prepare you for the real life scenarios, and that's been great. And whatever you're doing, they've transitioned. Your students have always transitioned very well.
Any specific courses that might be helpful for them to think about taking when they meet with their advisors?
It really depends on kind of what you're looking to get into. We have a wide range of positions. If you're looking to get into programming, we're looking for SQL programmers. We're looking for software developers. With the developers and regular programmers, people who have taken, anything from C, C++, Java, you usually have a pretty easy transition. Even just people with strong math backgrounds have transitioned well. I've seen all different types of backgrounds. I've had people that were Japanese majors, or people with music backgrounds,
and they were hired as programmers
that have just for whatever reason. And that's not just a rare occurrence. It's something that I've seen before.
What's the hiring process like at Meditech?
We try to make it a two-step process whenever possible. We have the initial interview. Those of you that are interested from here, I do on-campus interviews here a couple times a year at the Career Services office.
We'll let your instructor know.
Yeah. So we'll let you know when that's happening if you're interested. For programmers, people interested in programming, we do have you take an analytical exam, which introduces you to our language. Starts off really basic, and kind of works its way up to something a little bit more involved. It's the end is a Fibonacci sequence, something I forget what it's called, but. It kind of works its way up into something a little bit more involved, and introduces you to the language as you go through. We try to get back to everybody within about 2 or 3 weeks, and then resumes can be submitted right to me. Easiest way is quickest way is my email address is, because I'm the college recruiter, it's colleges@meditech.com. Those all come to me. So if you have any questions at all. About the position or anything down the road you don't think of today, feel free to contact me via colleges at Meditech.
What's the test like that the students have to take for programming?
It usually takes a couple hours, actually. So it's a pretty extensive test. It's nothing that you could really study for. Again, it gives you examples as you go through and gives you instructions. So I think the key to it is really reading through the instructions and reading through the examples and following it through from the beginning, because it kind of works its way. It teaches you the very basics and then kind of works its way through to something more involved. So
if you're familiar with C++,
yeah, people who have basically understand the concepts of programming really transition well, and I think that's important. Being being a programmer, hiring, listening to our programming managers and directors and VPs, they're looking for people that, can learn new languages, regardless of where you go. Even if you're not going to Meditech and working with a proprietary language, the ability to grow and learn new languages is really important. You need to kind of keep up with the latest and greatest. And as I mentioned, technology is always changing and evolving. So, having the ability to do that is certainly important. Any questions? Anything I can kind of tell you a little bit more? Any?
I know one of the questions they're probably all thinking, but too late to ask. Could you give us some information on salary?
So with programming roles, actually most of the positions. Most of the positions to start fall somewhere in the 40s. With the programming roles, usually mid 40s, somewhere there. Depends on your experience, but it grows from there. For SQL programmers, it's as high as $70,000, so it would be somewhere from the 40s to about $70,000 as your base. The annual cash bonus adds a lot to that, though. It's based on the success of the company. We've had consistent growth each year, so what they do is they add up everything that you've made going back 5 years, and they give you a certain percentage across the board company-wide. So it's been about 5%. So they'll take 5% of everything you've made, bonuses, everything, and give you that as a bonus. That really adds a lot to your base salary.
Certainly sounds it.
Yeah, annual salary review. So, it just continues to increase. And, a big part of your first year really is training. So we invest a real lot in each new staff member, and then you can really kind of grow from there. It's not one of those companies where you're just stagnant. You're growing professionally, you're growing financially, a lot of incentives there.
Any questions? I have one last question that I always love to ask, and that's, as students, you have Greg Klopfer from Meditech, a hiring recruiter in front of you, so I think probably some of you are thinking, if you were to get a job, if you wanted to compete for a position at Meditech, and it's competitive, Greg told us in the last class that he gets almost 1,000 resumes a month?
That's our annual average. Some months, this is a little bit slower right here, but other months it's a lot more. So it averages out at about 1,000. So it's very competitive out there. That being said, you're in a great field. As I mentioned, technology and healthcare, that's where the jobs are right now. So you're in a really good area.
Now, what could one of these students do if they were fortunate enough to get an interview? What might impress you during the interview process? Or is there a specific question or answer?
It's not just here at Meditech, but regardless of where you're interviewing, there's going to be questions on your hard skills, obviously, especially with programming, what languages you've worked with, what technology you've worked with, applications. Those are usually pretty straightforward, easy for people to answer. It's black and white. The soft skills-based questions, behavioral-based interviewing is really popular now. And a majority of questions that interviewers ask are going to be behavioral-based questions.
Can you give us a sample of one of those questions?
So the idea behind this is the best way to gauge how someone is going to perform given a specific task is how they perform given a somewhat similar task in the past. So a lot of these questions are going to start out with, tell me about a time when, describe a situation where, things like that. So rather than just telling people, it doesn't, oh, I'm great with time management. Oh, I'm a great programmer. Oh, I'm good
people skills.
I've got good people skills, which I hear a lot. These are just words. Until you can back them up, and asking a question like that requires them to go back to their classroom experience. Maybe you've worked in groups. I don't know if they do paired programming here or, if it's more individual work, but think of specific scenarios that have helped prepare you for the role. Basic.
So a time when you had to work on a class project,
yeah,
and somebody wasn't pulling their weight.
Deal
with that.
Absolutely. How'd you deal with that situation? With customer service based roles, how you dealt with a difficult customer. Mm-hmm. Did you punch them in the face or did you work it out?
If you were working at Dunkin' Donuts and how many of you work in fast food? My hunch is very, very many of at some point, right, in the past. So you have to deal with difficult customers all the time. So how did you deal with a difficult customer? What was the process?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so there's a lot of behavioral-based interviewing questions. I'm seeing that most companies, that's really where they're going right now.
Definitely.
These are questions that, you know, it pays to really review them, work on them, and, you know, you'll really stand out if you're a candidate that's seen these questions before and has practiced the answers. That's why it's important to take advantage of career services, get your resume reviewed. They can talk to you about different companies out there. In most cases, they're familiar with them. They can talk to other people that have worked with them. They can tell you the good things, the bad things. You know, I'm up here, I'm a recruiter, so I'm obviously biased, but they can give you.
I have to say though, anytime experience. I've met a student who's working at Meditech, whether I'm out shopping at night or something, and I run into someone and they got a job at Meditech a year or two before, they always say, "Oh, I'm working at Meditech and I love it." So we mm-hmm. hear great things from yeah. our alums yeah. that come back about Meditech.
Absolutely, we have just an unbelievable retention rate down here at our South Coast facility, so high that we ran out of space a while back at our Fall River facility, and up until recently, actually couldn't hire for that facility anymore because we just couldn't fit any more people in the building. What happened is we just opened up that Foxborough facility, so those people that are coming from, you know, the Attleboro area, Taunton, all those places, they shifted over to that area. So now there we do have space now at our Fall River office, so it's great for people that are living down here. You know, it's just an amazing employer. I've been there for 12, 13, something, a long time, and it's been a great experience, and, something I really enjoy. I like that they do something that's meaningful. That's always been really important to me. It's not direct patient care, but it's software that's playing a big role in it. I like the stability. I like knowing that my job's going to be there tomorrow, next year, you know, in the future. I love the work environment. I've had jobs before where, you know, Sunday comes around and you think, oh my God, I cannot believe I have to go back to this place, you know, and that's never been the case for me at Meditech, and that's what initially attracted me, that's what's kept me out here all these years, and, you know, hopefully everyone can find that, whether it's Meditech or whether it's, you know, another company out there, finding something that's a good fit for you.
That's your passion.
That you love. You spend a lot of time at work, so you should be doing something you love, so figure that out. Absolutely. We don't, unfortunately. Because of all the training that's involved, we found that it really kind of doesn't fit into the part-time schedule. Yeah. So a lot of full-time permanent roles, though, we hire at the entry level. So, you know, when you are looking for a full-time role, there's a lot of opportunities for you. We
The only reason I'm doing it is I can't sit and stand long part-time with people long.
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely. I would check out our career service. Our career services. Our work here section. Take a look at all the different positions here. In development, we have system developer, quality control specialist, web developer. This is a new one here for us. Software tester. Some of you might be interested in help desk and support. Technical account manager. Help desk and support, troubleshooting everything from simple password resets to this isn't printing, Wi-Fi isn't working, software issues. We have 4,000 employees, so you stay busy in this group, absolutely. And then sales and marketing. We do everything internally, so we even have general administrative roles.
Are there any areas now that you really feel you need to hire quickly for? Are there any?
Yeah, I mean, really across the board, we have a tremendous need. Database programmers, obviously, but software developers and programmers, we always have a need for. It's just a really growing area for us, and continues to be so. A lot of jobs out there, not just at Meditech, but everybody's hiring. Everybody's hiring programmers out there now, so there's a lot of competition for people coming from.
Any GPA not cut off that I don't, but is there a GPA? How important is GPA in the process?
GPA is definitely important. It's something that we take into consideration, especially with people that are coming from school. If you don't have a lot of academic, applicable experience, it's really kind of one of the primary things we look at, the classes you've taken, your grades, You know, a lot of our hiring managers, you know, our software development director, he actually looks at everyone's transcripts for the software developer, you know, see where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, and he'll go over that with you and say, okay, you know, what's the story here? What's, you know, tell me about this. So that's, you know, it's definitely important. It's not a deal breaker necessarily. It's just it's just one of the many things that they look at when determining, you know, if it's a good fit.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
And I should mention that optimal resume, I know I mentioned it briefly when I started, but there is an interviewing tool also connected to that. And they will give you questions that you're usually asked, and they'll do a behavioral interview if you want it. You can actually select the type of interview you want. You want a behavioral interview, or an introductory interview, a final interview, a panel interview, and they'll actually take you through that process, and they'll show you someone going on an interview, answering those questions, and then the coach will say, this is how you might want to answer it. These are some of the things to think about. So it's a great tool. If you want to access it, you go to your Access BCC account, just log into that. There's a tab that says College Resources, a great tab. Click on College Resources, and you will see the orange button that says Optimal Resume. Just click on it, sign up for an account, and you're there. And certainly, if you want to contact Career Services or call me, I'm happy to work with you on it also, okay? Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much, sir. I appreciate
it. Thank you. We'll see you next semester.
Yeah.
Or actually before that, but we get the grant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where's your office look?
And G220.
G220, yeah.
I'll leave some flyers up here too, right, in case any of you are interested.
Do you have any students graduating this semester?
I'm trying to think if there's anybody graduating this semester. I'm not sure that I do. I'll ask around and think about that. I'm not sure.
We'll give it some.
Most of the people I know that are graduating in the spring.
That's pretty.
Okay.
I didn't turn off the volume, so I don't want you to.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye, folks. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll let your instructor know when we do have on-campus interviews. It's a, you know, it's a face-to-face interview. We look at your resume and make some decisions right then and there if you're going to be sent forward. So it's a great opportunity. We usually do it in the spring because we don't have a lot of December grads, but we'll certainly let you know. Okay,
yeah.
Folks?
No, thanks a lot.
One of the best pieces of advice my father gave me when I was looking for a job was to interview at a couple of companies you don't want to work for, just to go through the interview experience, because you're not good at it usually at the beginning.
Yeah, then you won't be nervous.
That's right.
Shoot for the job.
So I went and interviewed at a couple of companies. I didn't want to work up in New Hampshire area, but I went in North Shore and everything. I went and interviewed at a couple of companies and took their programming tests. Because some companies, back then a lot of companies gave it. Now there's less companies that give tests.
I was acing
the test by the time I'd done it a few times and really good on the interviews. And it just made me far more relaxed and comfortable when I went for the jobs that I really wanted. It helped. The practice helped.
Where can you find those questions? You know how he was saying there's going to be certain questions they'll ask you on an interview, like in certain scenarios, what you would do?
Kmart has that behavioral question.
Kmart does?
And what she's just said was the one that's available that she's got. I'd go and look at her software. Pat Condon is her name. And I'd go look at it. While we're talking, download LoopsWhile and Department Array from the Visual Basic, because those are the ones I want to look at. So you're going to download LoopsWhile and Department Array. Under Programs, Visual Basic. Okay? Those are the ones that I want to see. We've got a load of students working over at Meditech. Pardon me? Loops Wild, yep.
And Department Array.
And Department Array. We have a lot of students working over there. I mean, you may well have gotten a mentor. One of your mentors may have been somebody that works there, because there's a lot of them that do.
What's the second one?
Department Array. Loops Wild and Department Array. And I thought it was interesting that he said that about SQL programming. And one of the courses I teach is SQL programming, basically. And that's good. $70,000 is not a bad salary. Okay, then we're going to go into starting Visual Studio, and since I started in the previous class, it's going to start for me, hopefully fairly fast, but I would suggest that you click on that too while you're downloading, because it takes forever and a day to come up. Unless somebody was sitting at your computer in the last class, and then it probably comes up quickly. I'm going to start by looking at the one that said Department Array. So I'm doing an open project and doing Department Array, clicking on the SLN. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I will be. But his wife had a car accident on Monday, a minor one, luckily, for her, I mean, hurt-wise. And his parked car got hit on Friday. So both of the cars got damaged in 1 week. And so he's dealing with insurance. He says he thinks he'll be here tomorrow and Thursday. But he's among the missing today. I can stay around till 4:30. So if you need any help, we're in here. We can be in here till 3:30, I think, and then move to another lab. Okay, so this is the Department Array. So, a couple of things I want to point out. This one up here, this subroutine, form Department Array _ load. The name of the form is Form Department Array. You probably have not changed your names and have left them at Form 1. They're a pain in the neck to change now. They used to be easy. So, I basically have the form. And this is _ load. Okay? So, I'm going to just take these and make them go away for a minute. And get rid of this whole thing and show you how I went about getting it. So if I go back now to my form and I click on any blank area in the form, any blank area, it generates the load area. It generates this load event. So just click on any blank area and it generates the load event. And now I'm going to paste the stuff back in. The order of these doesn't make any difference. You know, when I started, these were at the top because I had apparently done it first. The order of the subroutines is totally dependent on the order that you did them in. It has nothing to do with executing. It just has the order that you did them in. Okay, so the load event means I've got, when the form is loaded, this will happen. So when the form is loaded, the array will be set up. So what I use the load event for is things that I would do in housekeeping. Things that I want to do once when the form is first opened. those will be done in the load event. Then I set up this routine right here, where I will say when you click on the button exit, you'll end. That would be my wrap up, basically. And the other things up here are my processing. Now, in the Visual Basic, at the level that we're looking at it, it is entirely interactive. So all of these things happen on click events. So when the user clicks a button, something happens, with the exception of the load event. This is the load event. And the load event happens when the form is loaded. But all of these others are click events. Click, click, click. These are all click events, which means when I click a button, they happen. So the user is controlling when they'll happen. It's not anything to do with the order. It's what the user wants to do. Okay? So I decided I wanted to set up an array. And I wanted to have it set up when the program started before the user clicked anything. Because if they click something, they're probably going to be using the array. So I don't want them clicking anything. So I did it on load. So on load, this array got set up. So by the time the form was loaded, it was there. Okay, so now, when I set up the array, first in the global area, I define dim department name 5, which means the maximum number I'm going to have is 5. So I've got 5 department names, okay? 5 of them. You can't use the same field name twice unless you have something to differentiate it. And the thing that I have to differentiate it is that number there, which is the index, subscript, pointer, whatever word you like. It's one of those three. So I am going to use an index to tell which one it is. So the girls' department has an index of 1. Boys' department has an index of 2. Books has an index of 5. Okay. And then I have my routines. So I have from 1 to 5 in my array. I could have had a 0th element, but people don't usually make departments 0. Okay, they make departments with numbers higher than 0. So I didn't make a 0th element. But what I've got is when the user clicks, okay, and we'll go and look. When the program runs, okay, hello, the load has happened, which means that the array is there. So I'm going to put in the 5 up here and click Get Department Name, and it comes back and tells me books. Okay? So it went and got the department name. Now, how it did that is when I clicked on that button, it executed the button Get Name click event, and it did the code inside there. So I wanted to, first of all, check and make sure it was a legitimate department number. And my legitimate department numbers are 1 through 5. So I'm asking here if val, and val basically takes the string data that comes in. It comes in as text or string data on the form, and it turns it into a number. And I know it's string data because the 5's over there as opposed to over here, which is where it would be the number. So I decided to make it a number and say, is the number, and Val did that, is the number greater than 0 and less than 6? Which means, basically, is it 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? And if it is, then I say, okay, this output area, which is called text department name.txt, is going to be equal to the department name
one of those five, and the subscript is going to be text department number dot text. So I typed in a five, so it said, okay, I want to move department name with a five there. And so it moved books. I got department name with a five, and it moved books. So I now have books there. If I put in seven, it tells me invalid department number. If I put in clear, it clears everything out for me. Now, notice my clear, when they click on the clear button, I do the button click clear. And I just wrote text department number dot clear with the two parentheses. An alternate to doing that is I could have said text department number dot text, change the text property, equals quote, quote. Quote, quote means nothing in between. And so it means set it to nothing, set it to empty, set it to clear. So that's an alternative way I could write that. And I could have done the same thing for text department name. It's just an alternative. The alternative to end is I could have put here me.close with the two parentheses. And that's an alternative to end. Doesn't matter which one you use. You can use either one of them. End is probably a slightly older way of doing it. With the other one, it's pretty insignificant which. And then if I hit the exit, whoops, first it tells me to close the ink layer. If I hit the exit, it exits. So I have set up buttons for everything that I want to do. Getting the department name, clearing, and exiting. And since I have a button for everything I want to do, when the user clicks a button, it happens. Okay? So when I put a new button on, if I add a new button to this form, so I take button and I put it over here, when I click on that button, it brings up the subroutine that I can put the data in. I mean, I can put the code in. So I click put a button up there. I didn't name it or anything. I just kind of put up button one. When I clicked on button one, it made the subroutine for me. Now I can put the code in there that I want to happen when button one is clicked. Yeah.
Sorry, how did you get the box up to actually add the button to it?
The design.
Design
shows you the form, and this shows you the code. Design is there right at the beginning. Once you click on something, it goes and brings up the code. But you have to have clicked on something before you see the code.
Unless the way you saved it happened to have the code come up.
Yeah, like code came up, but I don't see design.
Design's right on the side, but I can't figure out how you get that box on the side.
Yeah, that's what I need to get up right today.
Yeah, I have the...
No,
you don't have design across.
He
doesn't have design.
Oh, there.
You
got it? Maybe. I don't have that thing on the side.
My whole thing's grayed out.
What are you asking?
see this section?
That's the toolbar.
Yeah, I can't find it.
You go in under view.
Under view?
Yeah, it's still on the button.
Toolbox.
Are you in run mode? Toolbar.
Maybe that's why.
Toolbox. You're right. Toolbox. Yeah, you're in run mode. Get out of run mode. Once you're in run mode, it doesn't let you change anything ever again. Okay, you're in run mode too.
How do I get out?
Click on that. No, click on whatever you just clicked on.
The box?
Yeah.
This box?
This box right here. That rectangle.
This one.
The brownish rectangle.
This?
Yes. And now you're out of run mode. Okay. Remember when you start something. Okay, when I say start to this, okay, this, you get these two symbols up here, which means you're in run mode. Okay? When you're in run mode, you're not supposed to be able to play with the code or play with the design because you're in run mode. You're in executable. So if you click on that square that's kind of brownish reddish, then it closes down the run mode and goes back to the design. Okay, so I basically click on this and now it's back to where I can make changes to the form or to the code. But if that is on, then sometimes it lets you do something. It shouldn't.
Yeah, it's confusing me sometimes.
Right. So sometimes it does, but it shouldn't, because if you're in executable mode, you shouldn't be making changes to the code. You should get out of executable and go back in where you can make changes to the code. Okay? Okay, I'm going to bring up the other one, and we're going to take a look at that. And we may not make it all the way through that. He talked a little longer today with your class than he did with the other one.
So now we're opening loops while.
We're opening loops while. And if I don't get all the way through that, I will finish it on Thursday. Okay. There are two things in here that I added in the last class, and I'm going to put a single quote in front of them to get rid of them temporarily. I want them, but I'm going to just comment them out so that I can talk about what happens here. Okay, so I have defined two things up here in the global area, word count and word total. The problem is that since I defined them in the global area, they are available inside all of my routines. And we're going to see what's going to happen with that. Okay. So I right now have three different kinds of loops. And if I decide to run them, I'm going to enter something in under how many times and amount to add, and it's going to come up with the result. Again, when I design the form, I look at what I want for input, what I want for output, and I put up boxes for my input or something for my input, boxes for my output. And then I put in buttons to tell all the different kind of processing that I want to do. Okay? So that first process button is a while loop. So I'm going to put in, I'm going to run this. Actually, I'm going to stop it and I'm going to bring up the code. And then I'm going to run it so we have both of them available. So there it is. So I'm going to put a five times I want to do it, and I want to add 12 each time.
So I click on process, and it adds 12 five times. So I end up with 60. Okay, adding 12 five times is getting me 60. Okay, so look at that loop. It says, work count is 1, because I said it is 1 up there. But, in fact, that's not the best place to set it, and we're going to talk about that, but I purposely did it this way to make the point. The do loop starts here and ends with the word loop. So notice I don't have any curly braces. I have the do and the loop, and that controls what I'm going to do inside the loop. I don't have to have curly braces around it. The code starts right after the do and ends right before the loop. So that's the code that I'm doing. I've got my condition there, and my condition is I want to do this while work count is less than or equal to the number that I put in. Now, the number I put in, I converted to an integer. Remember I said you can use val, or you can use convert integer or convert decimal, C-D-E-C, or C-I-N-T, to make sure that it's a number. So I said make sure it's a number. So I'm checking to see if word count is less than or equal to 5. It's not. So I added 12 to the total, and I added 1 to count. And I did it 5 times. And eventually I leave. Now the problem is that because I wanted to show 3 different loops, and you'd never do this in the real world, I put all 3 on one program. So now, if I click the until, watch what happens. I've got 5, 12, 60. And now I'm clicking the until. I now have 72. And that's all I got, was just 72. So let's see what happened. What happened was it went into this do. And the do didn't ask any question. It just said do. So I did add it to the work total, so I added 12 to the work total, and that gave me 72. And then I added 1 to count, and count, that put count over 5, because count was already 6 from the other one, because I added 1 to it right at the bottom, and I did it 5 times. And so as soon as it hit 6, it got out. Okay, so basically it was already 6. I added 1 and it made 7. And then it said, is work count greater than the number, which was 5? Yeah, 7's greater than 5. So it only did it once. It wasn't anything wrong with the loop, because if I run this again...
So it's basically just because the condition on the second loop
exactly.
is at the end. So
yep.
It has to run through the loop one more time.
That's right. But well, it's because the it's at the end, so it goes through one
yeah,
more time.
Yeah, it goes
time,
through
yeah.
one more time before it gets to that condition.
And again. For some reason, it doesn't think it wants to start right now. Hello? I don't know why it's not doing that. But if you want to run it the way it is, you will see that the until word got... The do with the condition at the bottom looks just fine when you first reload it, and you will get the 60, because it will run through 5 times. Okay. So, the way I need to fix that, and for some reason it really is not happy with me, and I have no idea what I did, but the way I can fix that is to do the initializing up here at the top. So put in the word count equals 1. So that means when I hit that second loop, it will reset word count to 1. It will reset it to 1, which means that it will then go through it 5 times.
So you pretty much just declare the variable at the top.
I don't have to declare it. Notice I didn't declare it. I left the declare up in the global. but I did do the ad. That's charming. All right, now let's see what you're going to do to me. You've made the code go away. I have no idea what it thinks it's doing. Okay, so we're going to look at yours. If you add in, eventually this may decide to come back, or I just may get out of it and go individual basic again. That's probably the answer.
It came back.
Okay, good. And now are you going to let me run it? Okay, so I'm going to put these work count one in here. And if I take out the quote, and you have to actually add it in, if I run this, and I say, okay, 5 times and 12 process, it gives me 60. Now I'm going to hit the until, and there's still going to be a problem. It did it 5 times. It added 12 5 times, but I've now got 120. So it's the same problem. I define work total up here as a 0. I came in and I did this and it was 60. I didn't reset it. So when I came down here and it started adding the work total, it went, okay, 72, 84, 96, and it just kept adding to it because I didn't reset it. Okay? So basically, as I said, I did these wrong just to make the point that resetting is important. And you have to kind of look at the output and see if it makes sense. 5 times 12 is clearly not 120. Okay? So it didn't make any sense.
So how would I reset it?
I could either do it right here and right here just before I went into the loop and say work total equals 0. Or I could do it right down here. I could do it in either spot. In other words, I could move the output to the form and then immediately set it to 0 to get ready for the next one. So I could do it in either place. Okay, it doesn't matter which way I did it. I could do it in either place. I can make sure that before I go into the loop, work total is 0. Or I can make sure that after I have finished using work total, I set it back to 0. And it's my choice which one I do. Okay? The last thing I want to mention is the for loop here. Now, the for loop is the nice guy in the sense that it does everything for me. Although it doesn't reset work total. But it does everything for me in that it reset work count. So it says work count equals 1. So it reset it. Then it says do it from 1 up to 5, because text how many I've been putting in is 5. Step 1 means increment by 1 every time. If I put step 2 there, it would increment by 2. If I wanted to start out with a big number and go down, I can have a step negative 1. And it would decrease every time. But it goes through and does it every time. But again, I would have to reset work total. So if I do 5 and I do 12, and I do process, it gives me 60. And I do 4, and it gets me 120 again. Because, again, I have not reset work total. So I have to zero out work total. Now, I made these global because they were being used in all of my routines. But I have to be careful, because if they're being used in all of my routines, that means that I hold on to the number from all the routines. And so if I keep pushing these things, I'm going way, way up. I'm going just keep going, and it keeps adding 60 because I'm never zeroing out work total. So every time I push one of the buttons, I get 60 more, and it just keeps going. Okay. Questions.
Is that just like a count plus one?
Yeah. Only this one is just I'm adding something to work total and saying I can either be adding one to a count or I can be adding an amount to work total. If you have questions, I'm happy to answer them now. We can also take a quick look at this on Thursday. Thursday we're going to look at reading and writing a file. And that's about it for Visual Basic. And then we will move on. I think there's two more topics I want to get through.
What are the topics?
Numbering systems and codes, mainly because everybody wants to make sure you've hit that. And I'm going back to databases and doing multiple tables. So those are the two more topics that we need to go through. My goal is to have the last week of classes pre-open so that it's more labs and not have things going on during the last week of classes so that you can start working on the final, which I give you a week ahead of time, and you get caught up on homework.
Do you remember that website, Blackboard, that we can download the software?
Restart?